Thank you for joining Victory Center Church's Pastor Charlie today. We hope you're blessed from today's message. If you would like to know more about Victory Center, please go to victorycenter.org for more information. Enjoy the message. I know breakthrough is coming.
By faith, I see a miracle. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 38. Isaiah chapter 38, we welcome all of you that are online tonight, and you will probably, after hearing Dean, be inspired to get online and take it there in the comfort of your home. So God is good all of the time. And I know I went through the first year, and it was good, but I kind of fell in one of the categories Dean mentioned. I felt like I was too busy to go the second year, and haven't been the second year. Father, we come into your presence tonight, and we're reminded of Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4, the Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I would know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. And we're believing that you give us a word in season tonight to speak to him that is weary, and then you waken our ear to hear as the scholar or the learned or he that is taught. So we hear the Holy Spirit tonight to enable us to speak that word to him that is weary in whatever area that they're believing you in. And we would declare again tonight that you give us a hearing ear to hear what the Spirit of God is saying, and that as we shared Sunday, to hear and do. That's the key to being successful. And so we declare that the Word of the Lord will flow forth unhindered, and signs and wonders will follow the teaching of the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. I was reading this passage of Scripture in Isaiah chapter 38 in relationship to Hezekiah. Things had really been going rather well for him. And then he catches what we would call a little chuck hole of the road or a little hiccup. And you find this account in 2 Kings 20, started at verse 11, pretty detailed. You find it also in 2 Chronicles chapter 32, but it's not near as detailed, not near as long. In 2 Chronicles 32, it mentions basically after Isaiah had received all these things from God, he got caught up in pride. And God had to reprimand him. It's kind of sad when God does something. We think, hey, look at me. But listen, it's God that did it. And it's kind of amazing when the prophet Isaiah comes in 2 Chronicles chapter 32. He said, I got a word for you, Hezekiah, because if you got caught up in pride. Now, Hezekiah repented and God gave him more years. But one of the things that was going to happen, because the king of Babylon had come, and Hezekiah took him into the palace and showed him all of his riches and everything that he had. And Isaiah had this word. He said, there's coming a time that the king of Babylon will come back and will take all these riches. And on top of that, he's going to take the sons that you have sired, and he will make units of them to serve him in his kingdom. And Hezekiah said, the word of the Lord is good. And even knowing, you know, and just kind of went on. And so Hezekiah, even though he received a tremendous miracle here from God, we're going to teach you about, yet at the same time he got caught up in pride, but he changed and humbled himself. Now in Isaiah chapter 38, I'm going to begin reading to you in verse 1, and then I may counter-reference in 2 Chronicles for just a moment. In Second Kings chapter 20, and read the same thing it says basically there, just to confirm what it is saying in Isaiah. Chapter 38, verse 1. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. Now Hezekiah was what? I mean, he was going to die. He was terminal. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. I mean, two times here, what's going to be the result here in relationship to Hezekiah? You're going to die, so get your house in order. Now, to most of us, that wouldn't be real good news. There's just something about most of us, we like life, we want to live a long time. Now, I'm going to read that to you also from 2 Kings chapter 20, and I'll start at verse 11, just read a couple of those verses to you, and it brings out the same truth. And Hezekiah answered, It is a light thing, excuse me, verse 11. Well, I'm talking about the sundial here. I'll pick up in verse 1 of chapter 20 of 2 Kings. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. That just reaffirms what we read. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Now, to most of us, we might not catch the full impact of that until we said and thought about it or went about our way. Hey, my time is limited. What am I going to do in the time that I have left? Am I going to sit down and do nothing? Or am I going to believe God? Or am I just going to let time run out? Now, Isaiah, in the word that he gave Hezekiah, that he was going to die, and we may read to you again in both accounts, but when Hezekiah received that word, he wasn't content to sit down and just let time run out. In verse 2, it says this of Hezekiah, Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall, and prayed unto the Lord. Now, when he gets this report that he's going to die, Hezekiah is not content just to live out his days, get his house in order. He begins to seek God and said, Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth, and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, Go and say to Hezekiah, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer. Now so then we know part of his turning his face to the wall was praying. We read parts of his prayer. Chronicles covers maybe a little more of that. He said, I've heard thy prayer, and I've seen thy tears. Now then, the Lord is saying, I see what you've done and are doing in relationship to this report that you're going to die. You're not content just to live your days out. You're throwing yourself on God's mercy and God's grace, and you are petitioning him for more days. And I will deliver thee. This is what the Lord said. Let me go back to verse 5. And God said to Hezekiah, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. Now Hezekiah has got a sentence that he's going to die. Now Hezekiah gets what we sometimes circumstances determine how serious we are or how much time, as Dean mentioned, that we have to give back to God. And he began to seek God. And his seeking God, God said, I'm going to give you 15 more years. Now he went on and spoke prophetically to Hezekiah and Isaiah that, hey, I'm going to defend this city. Now, talking about Jerusalem, I'll defend it, and the Syrians basically will not be successful in trying to take the city. Now, I'm going to read to you along the same account from the book of 2 Kings chapter 20. And I'm going to pick up in actually verse 2. Now, this is after that once again he's received the sentence that he's going to die. Two times he's received the sentence here that you're going to die. Then he turned his face, or Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember me now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Verse 4 reads just almost like Isaiah. And it came to pass, for Isaiah was gone into the middle court, or out of the middle court, that the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, now the word of the Lord came to Isaiah, you remember, tell Hezekiah he's going to die. Get your house in order. Now, the word of the Lord comes to Isaiah just a little differently, and it says, turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayers, and I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee on the third day, and thou shalt go up into the house of the Lord. Now Hezekiah had just got a sentence of death. Now Hezekiah is hearing a different word from the Lord through Isaiah the prophet. Now what changes here? What brings another other word from God? Hezekiah became desperate. Dean would call it tonight in his exhortation. He had an intense desire not to die. He had an intense desire to continue to live and lead God's people. And so he really sought God. He turned his face toward the wall. Now, in turning his face toward the wall, could be literally or figuratively, but we do know in what it would mean. But we do know in turning his face toward the wall that he sought God with his whole heart, and what we would call he was desperate. He was in a situation, what we would call a life or death situation. And so he sought God. Because we know, because God said, I've heard your prayer. So we know he was praying. Now, how long that season lasted, I cannot tell you. But there was a season there after the word came, you're going to die, that he on purpose sought God above everything else. Everything else. He sought God. He just didn't say, well, I'm going to seek God just a little bit over the noon hour of work. He turned his face towards God with his whole heart. And God said, now I've seen what you've done, and I've heard your prayers, and I've seen your tears. And I'm going to turn this around. Now, in relationship to turning it around, it's kind of amazing to me in relationship to how these things work out. He said, I'm going to give you 15 more years. And then Hezekiah says, well, how do I know you're going to give me 15 more years? Maybe you're not. Maybe you are. Now, I think we all can understand how our minds kind of meander and maybe thinking God's going to heal me and give me more days, and then maybe not. No, God said, you petition God, I'm going to live and I'm not going to die, and I'm going to declare the works of. Well, how do I know God's going to do that? This is kind of the quandary Hezekiah was in. And it's a pretty outstanding sign that God gave them. And so they decided the sign would be this, that the sundial would turn backwards 10 degrees. Hey, it said it'd be a light thing for it to go ahead 10 degrees. Let's ask for something a little harder, that it would turn back 10 degrees. And so the sundial actually turned backwards 10 degrees. And then Hezekiah was pretty confident that, hey, everything was going to turn out all right. And let me read verse 11 to you from we're in chapter 20 of 2 Kings. And Isaiah the prophet cried unto the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backwards, which it had gone down in the dial of Ahaz, or the days of Ahaz. Now, some of the accounts here talk about that it was going to be 3 days after this, then healing would come. Now, in the account here, if you read both of them, some bring out that they actually put a poultice of figs and other things on this area that was the source of the sickness, and in studying it, and it was in his groin area. If you study this out in some of the words and what they mean, and they put that poultice on there, and between the what God did and what we could do in the natural, there he rose up whole and did a lot of outstanding things. He must have been pretty well hooked up there because of the things he did architecturally. And when you read the account of his finances, it is incredible, especially in the Chronicles. There, while he did, they had actually built houses, piles of all the good things that he had done. Now, I want you to turn with me to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. Now in Mark chapter 11, I was going to read to you verses 23 and 24, and actually 22 makes mention that we're to have the God kind of faith, or have faith in God. If you're using a Siddur reference Bible, it'll have in there faith like God, or the God kind of faith. Now, if there's a God kind of faith, then we would think there's another kind of faith. But Jesus is teaching, he says, have faith like God has it. Now, he uses the fig tree as an example of teaching on faith. Had gone into Jerusalem the day before, they were hungry, and gone to the fig tree. There were no figs on it. And he said, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter. And coming out of Jerusalem, Peter looked and said, behold, the tree you cursed is withered and dead. And this is when Jesus begins to give them an example of the God kind of faith. Now, I've made this phrase along as we begin teaching you on faith, and we just have gone through two sessions, and I don't know whether tonight would count as a third one or not, but probably Sunday morning will. That our only responsibility, now when I say the only responsibility we have, this is after we know the will of God. So probably the first responsibility, if I was going to be really technical and teach you, is find out what God's will is, because you and I cannot have faith beyond our knowledge of the will or the word of God. We cannot have the Bible kind of faith. If you're really not convinced that God's going to heal you, you still have not become convinced of what the Scriptures say or teach. If you're not convinced that God's going to supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory, you're not really convinced of what God said about he's going to supply your needs. Now, I know we're here in Mark chapter 11, but I want to interject this verse in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 5 in the Message translation, because I like the way it is worded here. It uses the terminology that Hezekiah faced God. This is in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 5, the Message by translation, and or the Message Bible. Now, there's all times in our life that when we hit a chuck hole in the road or just have a little bit of difficulty, that we're going to really come to grips with God. And so I like that. In 2 Chronicles 20, verse 5, Message Bible. Here we go. I forgot to look that up. You would think I'd learn my lesson out of this program. But I just check that out. I just need to start copying it out of my Bible that has it verse by verse and bring it or bring my Message Bible. But it does say he faced God. Now, for you and I to receive something from God, there's times that we just face God and we get honest before God. We're just laying it out there, honest before God. And this is what Peter was doing in reality of finding out what is going on and what about the God kind of faith. And then he starts in verse 23 of Mark 11, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto that mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that things he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." Now, I want to go back to where the thought was before I actually started this verse. Now, there's time. We must, in facing God, find out what God's will is. What does God want? Now, when we become honest in facing God and find knowledge of the Word of God, what God's plan is, what His will is, then somehow enlarges our capacity to believe, because we know God is a God that cannot lie. Doesn't change his mind. His plan doesn't change. And so he says here, he uses the terminology or the word believe here. And I want to read, I'm just going to pick up about in the middle of that verse. "And shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass." What's going to happen? "He shall have whatsoever he saith." Now, somehow, we as believers sometimes have more faith in what another person says than what God says. Or we put faith, and I understand this, we put faith in another person's interpretation of what God has said in chapter and verse. And that's probably a good thing in a measure. But eventually, we must know what the Scripture says. Then we can come face to face with God, and we can turn our face there to the wall, bless God, and we can seek Him until we get an answer. I mean, till we hear from God. This is what Habakkuk said in chapter 2. I mean, he set his face to seek God to find out what the problem was, and God spoke to him. It'd be nice if we kind of had a time frame in these areas where people sought God. We do know Moses sought him for 40 days. Quite a while to seek God. Separated himself from the multitude. Jesus would separate himself overnight from the multitude. Get alone with God and hear God. I make mention of Peter Daniels. I don't make mention of it a lot anymore, but he inspired me in different areas. He was here and spoke to us years ago. And he had developed a habit one day a week, getting out of the office, putting on his old ball cap, and going to the library and just being quiet, getting his mind quiet, and where he could begin to develop a plan to keep in relationship to his business, what he should be doing now, and what direction I should be taking now. But he pulled away from the noise of the world. And that's the way he dealt with it in his life. He just tried to put on something that he not easily recognized. And he'd go to the library because he liked to read. Read over 5,000 biographies and autobiographies to find out what made successful people successful. He had 3 points on that. But now we need, all of us along the way, need to get someplace quiet where we're not distracted. Now for you and I to do that today, we're going to have to be disciplined enough to leave our cell phones at home in the pickup or turn them off. Now, these cell phones will show up missed calls. You can always call back. But it's harder to do or easier to say than do it. But the dividends, after a while, begin to pay off. Now, verse 24 of Mark 11. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, what's the next word? Believe. What's our responsibility? Believe. What are we going to believe? We're going to believe that we what? Receive them. And you shall have them. Now when we believe or receive, what's going to happen? Now listen. Just a simple example. I usually use the grandkids, but I'm not going to use that tonight. There are people that tell me things they're going to do because I know their character. I don't doubt it. I believe. Just go on. And you know what happens? It happens. I receive it. Now, when we know the character of God, it is easier to believe that what he said, he's going to do it. So he said, Jesus said in verse 20, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you what? Receive. Believe that you receive. And what's going to happen? You shall have them. You're going to have them. That word goes to work. Just like the seed. I shared with you a week ago Wednesday night, Mark chapter 4. The seed is planted. You go on, you sleep, eat. You go about your business. What's that seed doing out there? It's growing, sprouting, growing. You planted it. And then Jesus said, this is the way the kingdom of God works. So now when you believe that you receive, you're going to have it. Now the example that I give you, different people telling me they're going to do something for me or for themselves or whatever. When I believe them, I don't get up every morning looking around to see if it's happened. I just have a knowing on the inside of me it is going to happen because I know their character and their integrity. So I just believe it. I don't have to work up to it. I don't have to work myself up. It's the same way with God. When you know the character of God and His Word, we believe we receive when we pray. And then we're going to have it. Now, let me close with this passage of Scripture tonight. Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. Now this will tie in with what Dean was talking about and exhorting us, and it will tie in with what Hezekiah did when he turned his face to the wall. And it's not so much I want you to see about the knowledge, but it's true, and about wisdom, but I really want you to see the principle that applies in every area. And I'm going to begin reading to you in verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. Now, this is an effort. And I've been working on that in my life, in this season of my life. That word, reminding myself. So that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Now, the King James used the word, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lift up your voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and search for it like hid treasure. Now, we could change the wording just a little bit and understand it better if we desire that. If we desire silver, I mean, we pursue that. Pursue good business deals, etc., good investments. We desire that, so we seek after that. And then verse 5 tells us the result of that. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. There's the desire, the pursuing of the things of God. This is what Hezekiah did. The Lord giveth knowledge. The Lord giveth wisdom. And out of his mouth comes knowledge and also understanding. And so in Mark chapter 11, 23 and 24, both of those verses use the word believe. If you believe, those things you say shall come to pass. You shall have whatsoever you say. And then verse 24 uses the same word again, believe. Therefore I say unto you what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have. That means when you go to bed at night, you've believed. You're not going to be worried in the nighttime hours. Am I going to be better in the morning? Am I going to be better next week? You just know that you are. Now Hezekiah, for a season, turned his face away from anything else, and he faced God. That's the price he paid for 15 more years. But his heart was changed. Now, I made mention in 2 Chronicles chapter 32, talks about, starting in verse 5, that his heart wasn't right. Got caught up in pride. Look, hey, look at me now. I'm prospering. Look, God healed me, and et cetera, and all of this. And it was displeasing. But it also says, Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart. Now, I believe that God is working mightily in your lives And he's working to the degree of, I use the word miracles. A miracle to one might not be a miracle to another. But there's different needs represented here tonight. That God, only God, can fix it. And you are the determining factor, just like Hezekiah was the determining factor to change his sentence of death to one of life. His belief system changed. And our responsibility is to believe the Word of God. Get some knowledge. Find out what these scriptures say in relationship to what you're believing. The more we serve God, God wants us maturing. And, you know, we as American people in America, in the church, I should say, a lot of times, we men have relegated spiritual leadership to the wife. And there's nothing so much wrong with that. Other than then when I need something, I don't have it. I've got to run the wife down and go by what she said. And there's nothing so much wrong with that. But it's got eventually to become part of me. I've got to know what the Scripture says. Amen? So you study the Scriptures to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that is not to be ashamed, the one that can rightly divide the word of truth. God is not man that he should lie. And when you find out what God's will is, then you can have faith, a God kind of faith. Without knowing what God's will is, it's really challenging to have a God kind of faith. So find out what God has to say. Find out what his plan is. And there's nothing impossible to him that believes. That's our response. One of our great responses. Believe. Nothing impossible to him that believes. Mark 9:23. Nothing impossible. Stand with me. Father, tonight we bless these your people, and we would declare that miracles are released from heaven. Tonight. We declare it. We say it. And now, Father, I choose, to believe that those miracles have been released. We don't want to be selfish in any way. We would desire them on the people first of all. But I thank you of miracles here on my behalf. First, Lord, of the people. Miracles. Health, healing. Financial turnarounds. Wisdom. Relationships restored. Relationships healed. Sound minds. Have the mind of Christ. Father, we declare that health and healing flows to every member of these physical bodies. We receive, and we have them. Father, we think of Psalms 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, who forgives all our iniquities and heals all our diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction and crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things. Oh, and the last part of that is renews thy youth as the eagle. We mount up. Let's just worship the Lord for a moment. Father, I lift my hands just surrendered to you symbolically, and yet at the same time, I'm anticipating, believing you for those things that are rolling from heaven. We believe you. We believe your word. We believe you, Lord. We're going to rejoice. And Father, if we're those that might be here tonight that are going through that season of really seeking God, I pray that that desire rises in greater intensity. And Father, in the midst of their seeking God, they hear your voice. You give them a plan. You give them the plan in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
You are listening to Pastor Charlie from Victory Center Church. We hope you are blessed by today's message. If you would like more information, please go to victorycenter.org. Thanks and be blessed.